the wine failing, the mother of Jesus saith to him, they have no wine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. There is a French expression, I have to admit, it loses a little bit of its humor when it comes over into the English, because it's a play on words, but it means marriage is more of a duel than a duo. And they go on to say, because each of the spouses, they study each other for 3 weeks, they love each other for 3 months, they quarrel for 3 years, and they then put up with each other for 30 years. And then the children start it all over again. And that is a humorous French saying about marriage. But think back to the day of your marriage. The good intentions you had to do everything right, to please your spouse, to lead a good, and not just a good, but a holy married life. To love your spouse more than yourself, and to protect your children from all dangers of body and soul, to love them all to your dying breath, as it says in the marriage ritual, till death do us part. Have you the same love, do you think, as you did on that your wedding day? Now, I'm not here speaking about that sentimental sort of love, the feeling for your spouse that you had on the wedding day. No, that's accidental. But I mean the true substance of charity. Do you have that? Or would Our Lady have to come to you and say, they have no wine? Because the wine in this gospel is a symbol of charity. Should she come to your home and say to her son, they have no wine? What are we going to do? The key to a happy marriage and a holy home is charity. Charity is the soul of the home. If the soul is separated from the body, then the body is a corpse. And if charity does not reign in the home, the family will crumble and fall apart and die. The married life, for example, of the parents of the little flower, Saint Therese, was a model of charity. Did you know, and this might seem like a very tiny thing, but actually it's not, that after 4.5 years together, Zélie, who was the mother of Saint Therese, wrote in a letter about her husband, I am always very happy with him. He makes my life very sweet. My husband is a saintly man, and I wish every woman had such for their husband. The charity that existed between them was based not on superficial things, nor was it based on feelings or anything of that nature. Their charity for each other was based on a supernatural foundation that could not be shaken. It was not an egotistical sort of love that you see in so many modern day marriages of the world, nor did it know anything of touchiness. It wasn't easily offended, nor was it jealous in the bad sense. It was self-sacrificing, self-forgetful. The husband left the management of the interior home to the wife. For example, she had complete freedom to decorate, to do the housekeeping and all of those sorts of things. And the wife lovingly saw to every little detail. Everything was comfortable for the family in the home. Not a gloomy cloud, they said, ever came between this lovely couple of St. Therese's parents. Not a single gloomy cloud, their whole married life. The husband ruled the house with authority, yet with love and with gentleness. and he was very careful not to be overbearing in his authority, which is so hard to do. In other words, if one were to read about the married life of this couple, one would think he were reading a fairy tale. It is so perfect. It is so ideal in every respect. But like any family, they had their crosses to bear and their temptations and their inclinations, but they worked at it day in and day out. They worked at making their home a place where charity reigned supreme, and it came with great sacrifice. It's the same with every family, isn't it? It's the same with your family. There will be differences of opinion. There will be the assertion of self-will that always tends to creep in. There will be trials. There will be many of those and many temptations. But if you remember what your vocation is all about, charity in the end will always win, and your home life will be most peaceful. The married life is a calling to be selfless, not selfish, but selfless. After all, what are the two ends of marriage? The primary end of marriage is the procreation and the education of children. That means to forget yourself to make sure that you get your kids to heaven. The secondary end is the mutual support of the spouses. That is, to support your spouse on the way to heaven and not to be a hindrance. You see, your vocation, if you are married, is one of self-sacrifice. To be always putting someone else before you. And it's your will. Think of it this way. It is your will that is constantly having to be laid on the altar of sacrifice and burned up as a victim of Holocaust to Almighty God. And that is how you keep peace in the home. Now, on your wedding day, think back. If you had the privilege of having the nuptial mass said at it, St. Paul said to you in his epistle, "Husbands, love your wives, how? As Christ loves the church." Well, how did Christ love the church? St. Paul says it in the same sentence in that epistle. He delivered himself up for it. He gave his all for the church. There was in Christ no self-seeking, no purely sentimental love. He loved the church to the point of giving everything. He gave his whole life. Every moment of his life was spent laboring for the church with little sleep and with much prayer and with much suffering until he was thrown on the gibbet of a cross and shed every last drop of his blood and gave up what was most precious to any man, his own life. Have you lost track of that, husbands, in your married life? That you are to love the wife as Christ loves the church. Has the wine of charity in your heart run out? The husband must think nothing too difficult in the fulfillment of his duties, and the love that he should show towards his wife and to his children. No sacrifice should be too great. Should he, in order to provide for his family, have to take on an extra job, then so be it, he will say, because I'm to love my wife as Christ loves the church. And should he come home from work, a long, busy day, and forget about his duties in the home? Again, Christ gave his all for the church. There is no more time for self if you want to sanctify the family, husbands. The wife. St. Paul says to the wife, that you must be selfless as well, sacrificing of self-will. Let women be subject to their husbands, he says, as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church. This is no slavish subjection to man, not at all, as so many women, I think, they find this saying hard, but it's not a slavish subjection. Remember that just as the church is subject to Christ, so wives are subject to Christ as well. And we must never forget that our Blessed Lady, who knew so much, was so wise and the holiest of all women, still perfectly and humbly obeyed her spouse. And the result was a very peaceful marriage and a very holy home. What matter for selflessness the wife has here, to give up what is precious for her own will, her own way of doing things. But what a peaceful home will exist where both husband and wife know their roles and sacrifice themselves to fulfill them. They must be selfless in all temporal things, but they must be even more so when it comes to supernatural things. Husband and wife, mother and father, should always be pushing a little bit, encouraging the other towards a greater holiness. For charity wants what is the greatest for the loved one. And so often this is where marriages fail. In the world, people marry just for little reasons, nothing essential, because someone is pretty or handsome, and then when they get old and ugly, then you leave them. Well, what's going to happen? Always going to be the end if you're marrying for those reasons. But if you keep in mind your goal, you're getting married to raise children for heaven. You're getting married to get your spouse to heaven and your spouse to get you to heaven. If you always keep that in mind, your charity will never run out. You'll never be missing that wine. And all of this requires great self-sacrifice. A parent is always in constant vigilance over his children, and it means always watching over them and telling them that they can't do so many things that all of their worldly friends can do. The watching of certain television programs, for example, and the listening to certain types of music, and the dress, the fashions that the modern culture says is okay, and everything else like that. The Catholic parent has to be always vigilant and constantly saying no, something that is very hard for our nature to do. But spouses must encourage each other to pray as a family, to struggle against their faults, to perform their duties. But too often, watch over this part, it's true. Too often, this encouraging someone to keep moving forward in the spiritual life turns into nothing short of nagging. And if you nag your spouse will just become stubborn. You'll butt heads and you lose track of what you're doing in the marriage. You will convert your spouse by your prayer, by your good example, and by your gentle persuasion with gentle words. So, some practical tips to conclude. If you want a peaceful home where charity reigns, then you must do, first of all, family prayer. We spoke of that last week. Pray as a family. That saying is very true. The family that prays together stays together. If you don't pray together, ask yourself why your family is drifting apart. It's always because the family does not pray as a unit. Second, you must do personal meditation or spiritual reading on the duties of your state in life. Pick up a catechism book. Review your duties as a husband, as a father, as a wife, as a mother, and pray over it. Thirdly, spouses must keep constant and open communication between themselves. Never let things fester. Never let them, if you get into an argument, never go to bed that night without having first worked it out. Never let hard feelings grow, but talk through it and get through it. And always be quick to forgive when you're offended. And fourthly, always recall the special graces that were given you in holy matrimony. You often forget about that, I'm sure. Those sacramental graces. Ask the Holy Ghost from time to time to stir up all of those graces in your soul that you might perfectly fulfill your duty in the home. And don't take any of these supernatural measures lightly and saying, oh, Father McGuire, you're always talking prayer and how it's the solution to everything. Well, it is. That's the reality of it. Without prayer, there is no grace to be given to you. And without grace, you can't fulfill your duties. So pray, and pray much to the Holy Ghost. And may Our Lady grant you always the wine of supernatural charity to reign in each and every one of your homes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.